Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? I am glad to be back, fresh off of a trip from the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. What a town. But before I get into that, as usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in, downloading, streaming. However you listen, I appreciate it. So please tell your friends, your garbage man, your IT guy, tell somebody, help them. Help them improve their lives by introducing them to my podcast. Man, quite a bit to talk about today, I feel like. Well, I guess I got a lot to say. It might not be a lot of things, but I'll start with my milestone. And for those who don't know, I have a 7-year-old son. His name is Miles, and I like to kind of document what he's going through, talk about the little different little things, his ups and downs, and, you know. Nothing huge this week, but he got his flu shot. He handled it like a champ. He was just like, my wife took him to the doctor. I was out of town, and she goes, "Hey, buddy, do you want to get your flu shot? We weren't planning on it, but we're here, but you can wait, and get yours with me another day." And he's getting ready to walk out the office, and he goes, "You know what? I survived the storm last night. I'll get the shot now." And he took it. You know, I had to tell him I was proud of him for being a brave little boy. And I got his Switch hooked up. I think I told you guys a while ago, we bought him a Nintendo Switch. And it's going to be a busy weekend, so his birthday isn't until a couple more days, but why not let him play with it the whole weekend? So I got it all hooked up. I got the parental controls. I got the app. I got the family plan. I got it all, man. I'm excited. And it's crazy how much this stuff has changed. I mean, I know how to hook up an Xbox and a PlayStation, but I had never hooked up a Nintendo Switch. I've never really played one, but man, it's so intuitive. It's so intuitive, and the tiny little game. I sound like an old man. It's just so weird. These big ass, I mean, almost like laptop sized discs we used to have back in the day, and now it's just a small little memory, little flash card almost. And it's just so intuitive the way it's built. It's just great. It's easy to set up. I'm excited. I'm gonna be cool dad today. When I get done with this podcast, I'm calling the school. I'm pulling them out of class early because we are playing Nintendo Switch. Unfortunately, I got to go to DC tonight, which sucks. But I want to watch them play it for a while, so I'm gonna get them out of school a couple hours early. And hopefully, this is a good memory for him. I'm super excited. This is like Christmas for me. I'm so hyped to give him this thing. This is the first console he's ever asked for, and I'm overwhelmed with emotion. I can't wait. I'm too excited. I need to relax. But this is the fun part of being a parent. Even though it's I love it all, but these are the moments I can't wait to see his face light up. And it's a huge moment for a kid when you get into video games and you get that your first Nintendo. Are you kidding me? This is the best. This is the best. But see. Yeah, I'm excited. So I'll let you guys know how it goes. So that's the milestone. But also, here's the maniac, anxious, fucked up side of me. It's just like, it's Friday the 13th. He's getting a big gift. And I'm like, I got to drive to D.C. It's kind of dreary out. I'm like, this is a recipe for disaster. Something's, you know, it's just, I can't just enjoy it. I got to assume something bad is going to happen just because something good is going to happen. But either way, you know, even if it does, fuck it. It's just, I'm just going to enjoy the moment with my son. And I'm super excited. Super excited to give it to him. But yeah. So just came back from Philly. I did another show for the Stop Soldier Suicide Tour, the 22 tour with Chris Ramey, Anthony Crawford, and Derek Eason this time in D.C. I mean in Philadelphia. And we did it at one of the best clubs in the country, Philly Helium, dope room. great staff. We had a nice crowd. It wasn't packed out, but we had a nice size crowd. I think this is the best reception we've had since we've done the tour. I mean, the people of Philly who came out, they really showed a lot of support. They took a lot of pictures. They were very supportive. But we had a great time, man. We had a lot of fun. I saw my young buddy, Franklin Neblett. He used to live in Richmond. I got to catch up with him, and I got to learn about the city of Philadelphia. Just some interesting shit, man. Like, just catching up with him, and it's dude, if you're over 35, it is vital for you to hang out with younger people, man. I mean, just, he's a young comic and a college student, and just the stuff that he sees and puts together, and I'm like, man, how the hell did he see that? Just his perspective. Franklin is, he's a good kid, and I think if he sticks with comedy and he keeps writing, I think Franklin has the, I'm saying it now, I'm putting it out there in the cosmos. I feel like if Franklin gets around the right people, that dude will create a dope show, a dope cartoon, a sketch show, something to the likes of Boondocks. He's a very, very smart kid. Very, very smart. And yeah, I'm putting that out there. Franklin, I think he will be part of something big if he continues to pursue a career in entertainment. Man, had a good trip. It's just, dude, once you get up in the Northeast Corridor, you just start getting pounded with fucking just tolls. It's like, as soon as you get up to Delaware and you hit that Jersey Turnpike, it's like $4, $4, $10. I get to Baltimore, $18 to park my car overnight, right? I told the dude, I was like, I'm leaving super early in the morning. So yeah, the night before, I do the show, hang out with Franklin, we go out to eat, all this kind of stuff, all that stuff. Wake up, get to my car. Some fucking dude comes running to my car like, hey man, you owe more money. You didn't leave in time. I'm like, I told the guy like 7 o'clock. He's like, you owe $12 more. So, and I don't want to argue with people. I could have just drove off, but I don't like doing that. I always feel like it's bad karma. It's $12. Fuck it. But $30 to park my car overnight. $30. $30. And it's just like, you move up there, man. It's just like fee after fee after fee for everything. It's crazy. But I love the Northeast. Philly's a dope city. That's what I was going to say. So he told me this. Franklin told me this story. And I wish I could remember the guy's name. But he was, I believe he was the first black mayor. And he said, just saying the guy's name is pretty divisive in Philadelphia. So I guess the William Penn building, they had this gentleman's agreement that no building down there could be taller than his hat. And this went on for over 100 years. And then he said in 1980, they elected this first black mayor. I should get his name. First black mayor, Philly. Woodrow Good, Wilson Good. I think that's what they call them, Wilson Good. So for over a century, they honored this gentleman's agreement not to build any buildings taller than this guy's hat, which is just dumb, you know? You just got to kiss this guy's ass. He's dead. He's been dead for years. And they elect this mayor, first black mayor, and they go, hey, man, we want to build this building downtown. And they go, yeah, we should build it. And people jump in like, hey, we can't, William Penn, we can't build anything higher. It's a gentleman's agreement. And the dude's like, well, let me see the paperwork. And they go, well, it's no paperwork. It's just kind of like a, you know, it's like an unwritten rule. We're just respecting it. And he's basically like, no, fuck that. There's a lot of money to be made down here. And we're going to build this building. And people got pissed off. And I was like, see, that's the bullshit right there. I don't know. I don't care who it is, left or right. But that's that bullshit right there. For years, they wanted to build down there. But these white dudes got to stick together. They don't want to be the one to go, I'm not going to disrespect one of these, you know, one of our forefathers, one of these great men who helped establish Philadelphia, I'm not going to do it. But when the black dude get in there, they come running like, yo, dude, you want to do this? And he's like, of course. So now they build this building, even though it's helping the city and it's bringing in money and all this kind of stuff. They like, this fucking nigger's gonna, that's exactly, he was the fall guy. He fell for that shit. That's what it was. They just didn't want to be the ones to do it. They're like, I let this black dude do it. That is insane. I knew it. And when he told me, I was like, dude, he fell for it. But hey, look at that downtown now. Beautiful buildings. I had such a great time walking around downtown Philly. I mean, the architecture. I mean, Franklin knows so much about his hometown. It was great. There's a lot of beautiful buildings. I had a fantastic time down there, man. And hopefully I can go back and actually do a weekend. But yeah, so shout out to Crystal and Anthony and the 22 tour. We had a great time down there in Philly. No cheesesteak. We got ramen. It was great. Yeah. So, dude, the shit never stops. It never stops. All right. So, SNL just announced that they're going to add a couple of three more cast members to the show. And added a white chick, white guy, Asian guy. Asian guy, first Asian on SNL. It's pretty dope. And I don't know the exact times, but just say, I mean, so early yesterday, they announced Shane Gillis, new cast member, SNL. Literally like 5 hours later, Variety, new SNL cast member, video of him saying racial slur, quote unquote, resurfaces. And I check it out. And he used an Asian slur. And it's just like, dude, when you're doing comedy, when you're on a podcast, just saying ridiculous shit. Now, I could see if somebody went on to some just political podcast and start saying this stuff. It's out of context. You go, hey, man, we don't talk like this on this podcast. We don't swear on this podcast. But when you're talking about comics, man, I don't give a fuck if they're white, black. People say, we say fucked up stuff to get a laugh out of the other people on the show. And a lot of times people say horrific shit in character, making fun of someone who's actually being racist. I saw the video that they posted. They cut the beginning of the clip. So you hear the slur and you go, oh man. But it's just like, let's hear the whole thing. Let's hear the whole thing, man. And I want to know, are you also trying to dig up dirt on the other two people? Now, as much as I hate that, especially coming from another, you call yourself a comic. As much as I hate it, I would go, at least they're being fair about it. They're not being fair. And before it sounds like I'm just straight up just defending these awful white dudes, it's other white dudes doing this shit. And that's probably what number two on my list of things I hate about this whole cancel culture. My biggest gripe with it, other than it being bullshit, is the self-righteousness of the whole movement. Like, who the fuck are you to dig through somebody else's shit and go, hey, look, this person said this. They're not a good person. They shouldn't have this. They should be fired from that. They shouldn't be allowed to go here. They shouldn't be. Like, what gives you the right? Like, who the fuck do you think you are? You think you're so perfect? I'm telling you, man, all these people doing this shit, they probably have the worst stuff in their past. It's such a distraction. They don't want people digging into their shit. So all they do is point the finger at other people. That's all they do. I really wish somebody would sit down with these dudes and ask them, like, what is your real end goal here? Okay, yeah, he said a bad word a year ago. Like, who was hurt by that? 2 days ago, this dude didn't give a shit about Shane Gillis or his comedy. None of that. But the fact that I guess this guy's had it out for Michael Che. Anytime he sees some guy coming on the show, a white dude, or I don't even know if he would do this to a black person. It would be interesting to see how woke he is. But he sees another white dude and goes, hey, let me dig some shit up on this guy. And another thing that bothers me about this fucking leftist SJW savior bullshit is the fact that guys like this guy who outed, I can't say outed because it was on his podcast, a video. The guy who brought this back up, in other numerous cases, is typically another fucking white person trying to take down a white person. And it comes across as a racist towards white people. And when you hear the term racist towards white people, your brain typically thinks it's someone of another race. Right? So here you got white people being racist towards other white people. But it's people of color that really suffer from this shit. Because now people think it's us digging up the shit. And I would say 80% of the time, it's another fucking male feminist, some dude trying to get laid, is the one that's doing it. And they walk away from this shit. They don't suffer the consequences of it. We do. People start coming after us. Yeah, we've all said and done fucked up things in our lives. Some more than others. I can't wait for all this shit to end. I can't wait. And the thing is, I don't want to be one of those people that say I hate this and do the same thing. I don't, because it would be fun to go, oh, you want to out this person, you want to call this person out. Well, let's go through your shit and make your stuff public. I don't want to do it. If you want it to go away, you got to be above it. But it's so frustrating to see people. I mean, just all they do is virtue signal. That's all they do. They don't really do any fucking thing. But people work their ass off. They grind. They go. They do podcasts. They're getting up early in the morning. They're running to do a radio show. They're busting their ass. They're doing shows. They're taking trains. They're taking megabus. They're doing pods. They're writing jokes. They're bombing. You know what I mean? And then you finally get the break of your life. You get the call, hey, we want you on SNL. And say what you want about SNL. That's huge. Say what you want about the show. That is a life-changing moment. That's something that you worked for. Even if that wasn't a goal of yours as a comic, like specifically to be on SNL. But if you busted your ass to the point where people go, hey, this dude will be great on an iconic sketch show. And they hit you up to do that. That's fucking huge. And then to have someone 5 hours later just be like, hey, what about this? How come this guy is doing? That's such bullshit, man. It's like you're sitting around just waiting for people to be successful. And then you bring it up. And then you bring it up. People say fucked up shit on podcasts, man. And 90% of the time, they don't even believe it. You're just saying shit to get a laugh. It's like, why can't you understand that shit? This is so childish, man. It's just like, well, I feel like this whole thing is just like, if I can't be the funniest guy or girl, I'm just gonna start calling people out. I'm going to try to ruin them because I can't do what they do. And there's this new shit too, where it's just like, oh, making fun of SJWs and feminists, that's hack. See, that's what they want to do. They want to scare comics into not saying shit. And hack is a word like, oh, I don't want to be a hack. But fuck that. That word doesn't scare me because it's not hack. Because all those SJW comics, all they do is talk about male toxic masculinity and how men are this and white people do that. How come that's not hack? You're all doing it. You're all saying the same fucking shit. But somehow, that's fine. But when you hear a comic get up there and say, well, we don't really subscribe to this bullshit. I hate this extreme feminist SJW bullshit. And you make fun of it. Oh, that's hack. Too many people are doing it. Well, how many fucking evil guy, anti-masculinity jokes do we want to hear? Huh? How the fuck is that not hack? How is it not hack? You're mad because guys like Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle, who you used to love, are calling you on your bullshit. A lot of y'all, just like a lot of other comics, aren't funny. And you figure, well, if I can replace the funny with activism or being on the right side of history, maybe that'll get me something. And dude, you're not helping. You're really not helping. You're really not helping at all. And all you're doing is when you get something in the future, you're just going to make people come after you. And what's funny, it's going to be your own people coming after you. It's going to be another SJW who wants to get some notoriety and some fucking pats on the back and booked on a couple of shows that nobody goes to because you feel good. Like, how does that guy feel good? Like, I'm the one that tried to take down Shane Gillis. Dude, fuck you. That shit pisses me off, man. They're sitting back, not doing anything, just waiting, just waiting. Just waiting. I saw this nature documentary where like these lizards, I forgot what part of the country, what part of the world this happens in, but these lizards are hatched on this beach, and they're born on the beach, and they have to get through like this. They have to get through like this rocky part of the beach and up and over this mountain and hill to make it to like their habitat to live. And like all these, this one type of snake has basically evolved to hunt these things, and they live in these rocky cliffs. And that's all they do, man. They just sit there and they just wait for these things to hatch. And then when these baby lizards try to make it to their habitat, they just wrap them up. That's exactly what these fucking people do. They're like these snakes, man. They sit there, they watch these little lizards hatch. They go, okay, all right. They sit in the sand, their head is sticking out. They play dead, they sit in the rocks. And as soon as these lizards start making some headway up that beach where they're going to make it, boom, they wrap them up and eat them. That's exactly what they're fucking doing. Why? Because you have no fucking skill, no fucking talent. You want no funny people left. You want to be the only pool of comics left to pick from. And you're a shitty person. Well, there's a show. That's a show. Have a great weekend. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter @ChrisAllenComedy. ALAN. Peace.